pretty rare thing to get a burglary in progress. We have done that before. Typically, we get called and the person's gone, so we set up a perimeter. We start looking for them that way. Every once in a while, you get one. One comes to mind that we did have somebody inside of a house, and some actually two boys saw the person enter the house. People were on vacation, called the police, and we got actually had an officer go to the back of the house and got him carrying a box of property out the back door. And so we took him to jail. But
asked if he needed a little assistance.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Usually when they see us coming or think that we're close, they'll take off running. So we'll set up a perimeter. We do have a dog that helps us out in, you know, tracking.
Yeah, the running guys. Part. Don't give me that.
Yeah. In the running part, yeah. You won't outrun the dog.
Right.
But, you know, we have a fairly high success rate. We have two detectives now, and obviously a lot of their job is after the burglary, you know, going over the evidence and trying to find out who did it.
When it comes to the detective part of the program, does it tend to be pretty straightforward?
You know, they handle a lot of things. One of our detectives is actually a POP officer, and part of his duties is going out every week with fishing game, probation, the sheriff's department, mental health, and going around to any new transient camps or anything like that and doing transient camp enforcement. Enforcing our
introducing himself or just the anti-camping stuff?
You know, once they introduce themselves, we explain the ordinance to them, and then we do the enforcement part. We've been working with our public works department. Once we get them out of a campsite, they'll come in and clean up the debris and get that all cleaned up. So we're having a great success with that in Fortuna. Just this morning, I was talking to our two detectives, and virtually all of the transient camps inside the city limits of Fortuna have been taken care of.
Even the one behind the mall?
Even the one behind the mall.
Really? Because I know that it's kind of been a sore spot. You know, you guys have done an awful lot of work in there.
We go in there. River Life Foundation goes in there a lot. They help with the cleanups. But it's a lot better than it was. Most of the transient camps in Fortuna that we see now are outside the city limits of Fortuna. So we're working with the sheriff's department on hitting those. We've pretty much, you know...
In the woods or around the river?
Around the river, Palmer Boulevard has a large one. The Mercer Fraser property near the river again, there's another one there. But we are actively going in there on a weekly basis. Even though it's not in our jurisdiction, we're partnering with the Sheriff's Department. We're partnering with Fish and Wildlife and doing enforcement. And if they're in Fortuna, we're doing our muni code enforcement on the campsites.
How different is it if it's on private property? I mean, you mentioned Mercer Fraser, not let's just say a company, and they have a tract of land or property that is being squatted on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have more flexibility? More
we work with the property owner, obviously. The way our ordinance reads now is if it's in the city limits of Fortuna, you can, if you have permission of the property owner, you can camp 5 days only, and all of the properties that we're seeing the camping on, they do not have permission from the property owner. So we're working with the property owners. We're getting their involvement and you know, working as a team to get this done.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Doberstein. You don't have a boss yet, huh?
Well, we have an interim city manager.
Yeah, I know, but you knew him before, so you're not right. Really going to, you know.
So, you know, we don't have a, we have an interim. We have, there is a calendar.
You know you're going to take heat on this one, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Good, good.
And he's listening, of course.
Yeah.
So, I got to watch what I say. I know the council had a meeting a few weeks ago to discuss looking at some different options. And one of those options was recruitment for the next city manager. So I know they're in that process now. I believe they're doing a salary evaluation, and they're looking at different recruiting firms that go out and specifically headhunt for city managers and those sorts of things. So
the experts.
So they're in that process now. But I would anticipate within the next few months that you'll hear a job description going out for.
I won't hear about it.
Somebody will hear about
it.
Yeah,
okay.
And it'll go out into the publications that, that department heads and city managers in other cities read, like Western City. And hopefully we get some good applicants.
So if somebody knocked on your door and said, Bill, what are the really cool things about Fortuna as a prospective employee or department head? What would you tell them?
I would say, number one, we have a low crime rate, which I think is a wonderful thing. There's a sense of community in Fortuna. We're about 13,000 people, so we're big enough where we have things there, but we're also small enough where a lot of people know a lot of people in Fortuna. And that sense of community that you get, we have an excellent parks and rec program for the youth. And in fact, we have a new parks director on, and he's expanding the opportunities for our young people in Fortuna for sports and different things. He's got a lot of great ideas about utilizing the rodeo grounds when it's not rodeo time, and bringing events in and things like that. So, and we're a clean city. Fortuna, you drive around Fortuna, the medians are well-maintained on the Fortuna Boulevard. The city is clean. There's not a lot of garbage in the streets. People, I think.
That's because you don't have renters that leave in the end of May.
That's right.
Have you seen all this? It just is mind-boggling to me that some of these people think that their garbage, sofas, mattresses, easy chairs, lazy boy type recliners, somebody actually would want to pick it up because it's on the sidewalk and says free.
Right.
Yeah, there's no way in God's green earth that I'd get within 5 feet of that thing thinking something lives in it.
I just, I was just talking to a friend of mine. He said that he had a TV that worked, and so he didn't want to just take it to the dump, so he put it out on the sidewalk, and he put a free sign on it, and not one person inquired about it. So then he came out and he put a $25 on it, and instantly had someone come up there and wanted to know more about the TV and if it worked and paid the $25. So I was thinking maybe that they thought maybe since it was free, it was broken, it wasn't working, something like that. But I thought that was kind of an interesting take.
Would you ever consider?
No.
Yeah, okay, no. Good. Yeah. I mean, not even as a freshman in college. No.
Yeah, I got a free lawnmower once from somebody, and that was the worst lawnmower ever. I went out and bought a new snapper not too long after that. That scoring on the free lawnmower, but it didn't work out for me.
Yeah, gee, man. This is a push mower.
No,
you can see there's no, moving part is the blade, and you can tell if it's there.
Yeah. No, I don't think I've ever used one of those.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh, child of the 90s.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen them, but I've never used one.
In the museum. Thank you.
I grew up in the 80s. So, yeah.
Oh, geez. So what would they say are the areas that Fortuna needs to be focused on to continue working on to narrow the gap on?
What there is, well, first off, I think we need to find a city manager. That's first and foremost. I think we do a really good job of working together as a city. Later on today, we have a weekly department head meeting, and we all the department heads get together, and we try to identify those issues that we need to work on. If they're crime-related issues, we have a traffic safety committee meeting, and that focuses on different complaints around town with traffic-related issues, so we focus on that. But as far as close the gap on, I think we're moving in the right direction on a lot of that. If you had asked me that last year or the year before, I would have said our budget situation is probably the biggest thing. We were running a $400,000 budget deficit, and now with Measure E, we're able to close that deficit. We're actually able to add new positions. The Parks and Rec Director – The detectives are all paid for out of that fund. So we're moving in the right direction as far as that goes. You know, I would say close the gap on maybe some more retail business opportunities to bring in sales tax dollars to the city. I think that's important.
Well, economic development's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, I think, yeah.
So, you know, I would, if we're going to close the gap on anything in, you know, overall view of the city, I would say it'd be economic development.
And it's probably pretty common for most.
Yeah, you know,
throughout the state.
Once you understand how city government and city budgets work and how important those sales tax dollars are, it does mean a lot for the city.
Now, you say that as if that's not commonly known by employees in the city of Fortuna.
Yeah. No, I think it's pretty well known by our employees. And, you know, I don't know if everybody knows that's typically the way that cities, for their general fund, receive the majority of their financing. But, you know, I hope more people, that's why they should stop locally, right?
You know, I would like to think that folks would know where the money is coming from when they're employed in a business.
Absolutely.
But, you know, hey, I've been wrong once or twice.
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Bill Doberstein. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag, and by Lolita Cheese. Bill, as you look ahead, I mean, we're kind of halfway close enough now to this thing called summer.
Yeah.
The fog is in. Yes. I mean, it's summertime here.
You know, the last few days have been absolutely beautiful.
I noticed that. Yeah. I noticed that, yeah.
It's been nice. Yeah. We had a good weekend.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about the summertime? I mean, I know it's budget time also, so that probably warps your perspective on summer.
Let me throw kudos out to our finance director, Aaron Finley. We have our budget ready to go. It's up for adoption on June 4th. And that's in the last at least 7 or 8 years. I've been chief for 7 years. I know it's never been on time like that. We have an excellent finance director in there now that's just doing an outstanding job and has got that department in order. But, yes, budget will, I think, go smoothly this year. And then looking forward, obviously in June we have Art and Wine in the Park, which is kind of a low-key event for us in the police department. It brings a lot of people into town. And then
that's kind of the jump start.
The jump start, yeah. And then July is our big month. July we have the 3rd of July festival. That brings a lot of people into Newburgh Park.
Whose idea was that?
You know, I know that our mayor had something to do with that, Sue Long, and Tina Taylor. I believe Sue Long and Tina Taylor and Dennis Went when he was live had a big part in that too.
It's tough to do it afterwards.
Yeah, so this is the first year since he's
passed. I mean, it's just such a cool thing because everybody focuses on the 4th, right? And it's
right.
The battle of the fireworks. Who's going to have the biggest battle? Well,
do it
okay.
On the 3rd.
So you do it the day before. He always said nobody's there. It's really cool.
And
no competition for that.
And it's a family event. We usually bring between 2,000 to 2,500 people into Newburgh Park for that, and not counting. They've done a lot of residential development on the hillsides around Newburgh Park, so we used to get a lot of people to go up there and park and watch the fireworks show. And then we have it's a traffic nightmare after that fireworks show is over with. So we usually have 2 or 3 extra bodies on for traffic control. We'll put them out in the intersections and do that. So, but that event goes pretty well generally for us. And then after that, we move into rodeo. The 3rd week of July is rodeo. And
traffic control is not a factor there.
Traffic Hill is really not a factor.
You
we
can't
have
do
our
it.
Parade. You know, we have a great parade in Fortuna. We'll have a great parade again this year. Friday and Saturday nights for the police department are the big nights. Bulls, bands, and brews on Saturday night, and then the motocross events on Friday night. But typically, we'll have anywhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people in the rodeo grounds on Friday and Saturday night each.
That's a really tight neck on the funnel to be able to get folks through.
Tight fit in there. We get a lot of people in there. We do have a lot of law enforcement presence. It's all hands on deck for Fortuna PD. We do an agency request from Eureka PD, Arcata PD, the Sheriff's Department, Ferndale PD, Riodale PD, and Cal Fire. So we get a lot of assistance.
So there's a secondary barbecue for badges.
Yeah,
we get folks in. Yeah,
we actually we do feed them those two nights. That's part of the deal. We have the community center down there at the park, and our office supervisor will go down and make sure everybody's well fed. And
any opportunity or abilities to get the transit authority to run shuttle buses or just something so that it might be spread out, or you do parking out at River Lodge also and just run shuttles some way so that you don't have. Just
we've done that.
So much activity in such a concentrated area.
We haven't done that so much for rodeo. I'm not on the rodeo board, but I know that Auto Expo's done something like that where they've shuttled people from the high school to the park to different events. And then
It actually increases your capacity because if you cut off the road there.
Right.
And have that as a kind of a walking area, I would think that at least it wouldn't be shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, and that might be something for the rodeo board to consider. I know Auto Expo does it, and then Hops and Humboldt in August, they also run a shuttle bus to and from the park and make sure people to get home safely. And
right. Yeah, so the template's there.
Yeah. And then Auto Expo after rodeo.
That's really the crazy one, isn't it? Not crazy, but the
amount of people that come to that.
Yeah.
There's estimates of 20,000 people between 9th and Main and 16th and Main, all. But it's the biggest car show in Humboldt County. We have cars from all over the world, really. I mean, we had someone from Australia there last year. So they bring their cars in from all over the country, and it's a great event. I'm a car enthusiast, so I love it. You know, I go through there, and I'm like, oh, I want that. it's a great event.
Yeah. But, somehow the checkbook stays in the pocket.
Yeah, and then, it's only $65,000 for that. Well, maybe not.
Yeah. Would you take a trade-in?
Yeah. I've got a 2000 Ford F-150.
Yeah.
It's worth about $2,000.
Yeah, a buck and a half, yeah. Oh, geez. KINS, News and Information Times, 841.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Doberstein from Fortuna PD. Bill, the Trimmigrants, they normally make their presence felt about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
At least looking at what I use as references, doesn't appear like they're as prevalent.
No.
Fair statement?
I think that's a fair statement. I don't think that we're seeing as many quote-unquote Trimmigrants as we usually do in this area. It's kind of funny. I was at a Cal Chiefs board meeting, and this is in Southern California, and we were talking about issues, and I brought up the issue of Trimmigrants, and it's kind of funny because in Northern California, people know what that term is.
Oh, yeah.
But I had to explain the term to many law enforcement chiefs in Southern California and had never heard that expression before. So
you told them that they were coming?
I told them they're coming. They're coming there.
I mean, yes. You think about it. They probably are with some of the legal grows that are in the urban settings now rather than the rural settings.
Yeah, Prop 64 is a game changer, obviously. But Humboldt County, Mendocino County, Trinity County, Del Norte County has always seen a, way more than the rest of the state when it comes to, migrant workers.
The influx.
So, you know, we're always mindful of that, especially around this time of year. But quite frankly, I have not seen as many this year as I have in years past. I'm not saying there's none coming into town looking for work. But this year has been a little slower than other years. And I don't know what all the external factors for that would be. Maybe it's the legalization. Maybe it's everybody's growing now type of thing, but we're just not seeing the numbers we used to see.
You guys have any issues? I know the county is claiming that it's whatever, you know, the marijuana thing 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing relief on that? Is it doing what the city was hoping would be accomplished?
I think it is. It set a buffer zone around Fortuna specifically. I know that where they have to get a conditional use permit to have a grow right next to city limits. Our big issue was they were these grow sites that, frankly, a fence. On one side of the fence, you're in city limits. On the other side of the fence, you're out of city limits. And we've got a three-acre grow on the other side of the fence. When our city doesn't allow that type of activity. So there was no sphere of influence, so to speak, around the city. And I think what the board did and recognized is that, even though it's not, quote, in city limits, it's affecting people in the city limits, people that don't want to have that smell in their house. And
is that the primary? Is it the smell?
That's a big part of it. Yeah, you talk to some people that have these grows right around their property, and the big issue is the smell, and the type of people that are coming to work on these operations, and they're building houses. There's a lot of construction going on in Fortuna. They're building big, nice, beautiful homes, and right next to their property is a marijuana grow. And so, you know, that was concerning for a lot of residents. I think the county has taken steps to mitigate that to some degree. I know that our current interim city manager, Merritt Perry, has been working on that. And before him, Mark Wheatley was working on that. And that was a big issue. And our council has been pushing that. And I know they've been talking to the supervisors. So, I think it's a great thing. I think a conditional use permit is the way to go. And especially... right on the border areas of our city limits.
Isn't it somehow ironic that with marijuana, and I realize, you know, you can eat it, but most don't.
Right.
that it's air quality.
Yeah.
And so many of the consumers, you often think of people who are really into environmental issues, and that it's a full circle thing.
Right, and the soil can't be used really... You know, every season they have to put new potting soil in, and
we'll end with that bad pun. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.